Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and wishing one and all a very blessed Christmas. As some of you may know, that Orchard Road is cordoned off to all traffic from 9 to 1 a.m., something like that. So if you want to go there, you have to take public transport, roadblock along Orchard Road. It is a night of festivity, a night of reveling, a night of drinking and merrymaking. Thank God that so many of you are here in God's house tonight. Christmas is a time of giving, exchanging of gifts. Year after year, it is more or less the same. You give a gift, you receive a gift. But how do you define what kind of gift is the best gift? Would you say a gift that is most expensive? What about most precious to you? It may not be very expensive in monetary terms, but it is most precious. What about one given by someone whom you love the most? Would that to you be the best gift? What about a gift that satisfies forever? Once you receive this gift, you don't need any other gift. Some may say, it is a diamond ring. If you get me that diamond ring, my dear, that's all I need. I don't need another diamond ring. Until she sees a better diamond ring. So it doesn't satisfy. Would you consider one that satisfies forever? That is to you the best gift. What about the gift that surprises you the most? You never expected it to come your way, and then suddenly you receive a gift from someone whom you least expect. Would you call that the best gift? I'd like to share with you from God's Word an incident that appears very ordinary to this lady. She just woke up one day. She'll go through the day like any other day. It was an ordinary day. This event is found in John chapter 4. It's about a Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, we have an account of a very simple encounter. But it begins with an ordinary day. Perhaps the kind of day that you may have begun this morning, a very ordinary day. It may be to you like any other Christmas. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, Jesus had to leave Judea. Judea was in the southern part of Israel. And then he wanted to go north, and he departed again into Galilee. On foot, it will take about 2 to 3 weeks if you keep on walking. It was a long journey. As the crow flies, it would be about 150 kilometers straight line. But the Bible says in verse 4, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. To this Samaritan woman, whose name we are not told. It could be anyone. It could be any one of us. An ordinary day. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as the Lord himself was concerned, which the Samaritan woman was not aware of at this point in time, the Bible commented that Jesus knew that he must, on his way to Galilee up north, he must go past this particular city, Samaria. And next to this Samaria was a smaller city by the name of Sychar. Verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied, tired with his journey, he sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now this well has a very long history. Jacob's well, that means it would be at this point in time nearly 2,000 years old. It had been supplying fresh drinking water to the people. It was very precious to have drinking water, good drinking water, uncontaminated drinking water. And to this woman, it was an ordinary day. Sixth hour, that would be 6 p.m., the sun had set. The evening cool breeze would have been blowing across that part of town. And it was time for her to go to the well as usual. It was a custom to collect water. This was Jacob's well. But the encounter that she would now face was an extraordinary one. It may have been a very ordinary day, but the encounter that she now experienced was extraordinary. Tonight, you may have begun your day like this Samaritan woman. You woke up, you go through the motion. You have been invited by your friend to come to church, which may be your custom year after year. And it so happened that this Christmas is also the Lord's Day to the Christians, Sunday, where all Christians would go to church. And tonight is about 6 p.m. Right now it's about 7 p.m. Very similar to the Samaritan woman. The close of a day. And all the events up to this point in time may still have been very ordinary. But tonight, it would be an extraordinary encounter. You may have already experienced it through the Christmas cantata, the testimony of this young girl living in Singapore, desiring what many of us would desire, to have the materialism that this world would heap upon anyone who would have the money to purchase them. It is an attractive world. It is a world of comfort. It is a world of plenty. It is a world of great abundance. Anything that your eyes may lust after, if you have the purchasing power, you can buy them. And yet, year after year, you may still want to buy more and more of these things. It never seemed to satisfy. Like this Samaritan woman. Day in, day out, she would go to the same well, nice cooling water, but it is still just water. The next day, she may have to go back there again at 6 p.m. to collect the same amount. Again and again and again. It may be fresh, it may be cool, it may be so refreshing. But she will perhaps continue to collect this until physically she will not have the ability to do so anymore. And someone else will have to collect it on her behalf. But it will still be the same water. It never seemed to satisfy until she had this extraordinary encounter. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Jesus now did something that the disciples were totally unaware of. He went by way of Samaria, the city called Sychar. Why was this so significant? It was significant because the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans were hated by the Gentiles. The Gentiles were considered as all non-Jews. If you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. But the Samaritans were hated by both because they were neither. They were not fully Jews, they were half. They were not fully Gentiles, they were the other half. And so they were despised by both. And as far as the Jews were concerned, if you have any sort of contact with them, you would dirty yourself. You would become unclean. And so even if this might be a shortcut for every Jew who would love to travel from Judea to Galilee, they would go by a very much longer roundabout way so that they will avoid this unclean city made up of unclean people, so that they will not dirty themselves. But in this particular occasion, on this day, there would be this extraordinary encounter. The woman said to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 9, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She understood that she was despised by the Jews. And so she asked a very pertinent and obvious question.
You hate me, you have nothing to do with us Samaritans, and why are you asking me for a water?
For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Nothing at all. And to ask her for water, that means not only to have some kind of contact with her, but to drink from the same utensil that this Samaritan woman herself would drink from. Now that is totally taboo, unthinkable. And yet, the Lord Jesus says, I must needs go through this town. Though this woman may have woken up and considered this as an ordinary day, but she must experience this extraordinary encounter. And what did Jesus say to her? Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Jesus wanted to give her a gift. He was not carrying anything. He came to her to ask, give me some water. A very simple question. And it brought into her mind all sorts of prejudice, all sorts of questions that she knew had been what she had learned from her parents. She grew up with all this prejudice, and then now all this boiled over, and she simply asked the Lord, what is all this? Jesus says, I want to give you this gift. I want to give to you the gift of God. If only you knew who it is that said to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now this was a topic that the Samaritan woman understood very well. I know Jacob's well is expensive, it's precious, it has a long history. I know that it never satisfies me because I keep coming back to this well to get more water. But now this stranger, this Jewish stranger comes up to her and said, I'm going to give you some special water that is called living water, which is also called the gift of God. It is a special water. In what way? Well, the woman will want to find out more. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? Jacob gave us this whole well. You now have this special water that is called living water, and you have nothing with you. How are you going to give me this water? And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. This water has supplied so many people for so many generations, including all the animals who would come to this well to drink. It's like the gifts that you find along Orchard Road, isn't it? All kinds of people would go there and buy all sorts of gifts. Year in, year out, it's the same. No matter how long it takes, as long as there is Orchard Road, as long as Singapore exists, as long as there are people like us around, they will continue to sell their ware because there will still be people who will buy all sorts of people with all kinds of cash, from the poorest to the richest. They will find something there to buy as a gift, to give it to someone who will never be satisfied. The reason is obvious, isn't it? The answer is he's not satisfied because next week he expects some other gifts. And you will be scratching your head. What else can I buy with this amount of money? That's all I can afford. Well, you may be the dearest to that person and the person will very much appreciate it. But when it comes to the next Christmas, the person will expect another gift. And you will be scratching your head again. Get another gift. What kind of gift? Try to be related to Bill Gates and try to buy him a gift. Get everything that money could afford. What can you give him? Give him something that will satisfy him forever. Like what Jesus offered this Samaritan woman. It is not of this world. It is a gift that will satisfy once and for all. Because that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said to her in verse 13 and verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Which is true. Whatever gift that you get from this world, no matter how expensive, no matter how precious, it will never satisfy forever. The person will want another one. The person will thirst again for another gift, like this Samaritan woman.
But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give, Jesus says, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It is a special kind of water. The moment you drink in this living water, you will yourself be bubbling with life. There will be this well that is inside your heart. You'll be so satisfied that you will never want to drink, could go anywhere for this kind of water ever again. Perfect, eternal satisfaction. That's the gift of God. That's the best gift, isn't it? Something that will satisfy forever. Once and for all. Once and for all. An ordinary day, an extraordinary encounter. And so the Lord Jesus Christ presented to this woman this gift. Just as the Lord presented it to that woman in Samaria, where he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He is saying to us tonight, I must needs visit Calvary Pandan this evening and to offer the same gift to all of us. Especially if you are here for the first time and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This gift of God is offered to you. May you respond like this Samaritan woman in verse 15. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water. She understood it very well. And I hope you who long for gifts from your loved ones and friends, you know what it means, isn't it? To have this gift of God that will satisfy your heart forever. She understood. And she asked the Lord, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I want this water so that I do not need to keep on coming here to draw water over and over and over again. Do you want this water? Do you want this gift? The gift of God that will satisfy your soul forever. We pray and hope that you would. But to do that, it must be on Jesus' terms. And that was exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said to this woman in verse 16. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. Now, it appears as if the Lord Jesus Christ asked her something totally unrelated. She wants this water, and then the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to deal with some part of her life that was sinful in order for this woman to receive this living water that she will never thirst again, in order for any one of us to receive this gift of God, we have to deal with that part of our lives. And that part of our lives is called sin. This was the sin that was so prominent in this woman's life. Go call thy husband. And the woman answered and said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, You are right. I have no husband. Why? For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. Deal with sin. There are many, many things that this world will not consider as criminal, and least of all, they may never consider as sin. We love to dress sin up into something so attractive and palatable. You look at the movies from Hollywood and from Bollywood. All kinds of concepts concerning what is moral. A man and a woman go on the first date and they end up in bed. And so everybody in the world copies it. Because it is the in thing, it is the thing to do. And then we have children, 13, 14 years old, in school uniforms selling themselves for the mighty dollar in order that they may buy the latest gadget. In Singapore, mind you, so sad and so frightening to every parent that our own sons and daughters at the age of 13 and 14, that's sec 1 and sec 2, that they would sin in this terrible way. And the world would say, well, they are minor, we just give them a little tap on the hand. Never mind. That's the world's view of sin. Anything that is not criminal, dress it up, give it a nice term. Homosexuality, alternate lifestyle. When a person is drunk, You don't call it a sin, you call it a disease. Fever is a disease. You have a cold, that's a sickness, that's a disease. Alcoholism, addiction, is not a disease, it's a sin. And this was the sin in the woman's life that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to nip in the bud. Because that was the condition for her to receive the living water. She must deal with her sin. And this evening, to receive the gift of God, the best gift, we have to deal with sin. There is no other way. You cannot say, I want to live in sin and then I also want to have the gift of God. You can't. Because in order for the living water to bubble forth from within the Samaritan woman's heart, for the gift of God to come into her, she must deal with sin. She must first realize and acknowledge that she had sinned against God. Which is what she did. The woman said unto him, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You are right. You do not know me. I have never met you before, but you know my heart. You know that I'm a sinner. And rest assured, the Lord Jesus Christ knows every sin that you have committed. I do not know you. You do not know me. We may be meeting for the first time. You may be listening to me for the first time. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who is offering you the gift of God, He knows what sin that you are hiding, that you are slave to. This sin had become your master all your life. You may have tried so hard to get rid of it. You couldn't. You use all the discipline that you could muster, and yet, ultimately, you still fall into that sin. You may have succeeded for a month, and with those strong characters that you may possess, 6 months, a year, but then subsequently you still will succumb to that sin. And He has been haunting you all your life to be slave to sin, to have sin as our master. That's a terrible, terrible burden to carry. And no gift of this world can ever erase and lighten that heavy load. It may grant you relief for a short while. Oh, this is a nice present. Thank you for this pen. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for that gift. But the moment Christmas is over, you forget about that gift. You may use that gift for a week, for a month, and then you'll put it aside. You'll become one of the many, many old items that you find in every home. And then next Christmas, the same thing will happen again and again. And you cannot deal with that heavy burden in your heart unless and until you acknowledge that sin before God. Because the Bible says that if any one of us were to die in our sin, the only place that we will end up is a place called hell. No other way. No other place but hell itself. That is the heinous nature of sin. That's the heinous nature of sin. It began with an ordinary day. And here we have the extraordinary encounter where this woman's life will be forever changed because she will now receive the gift of God. Which is what we pray and hope that all of you, all of us, will receive tonight. That you may have this gift of God, the living water that will bubble forth from within our heart, that will satisfy us forever. Once and for all, never to thirst again. Never. Never again. In verse 25, the woman said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, Why seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. She was so happy that she received this water. She forgot about what she was there for, to collect water from Jacob's well. Because she found this living water. She received this gift that was so precious, that was bubbling from within her heart, that she wanted to tell everybody. She went back to her own city and she told all the men, and the men came. And they believed too. They believed. This gift was so precious, so real, so alive, that she just could not keep it to herself. She wants to tell everybody about this gift, that everyone may receive the same gift that satisfies forever. The best gift. The best gift. Do you have this gift? Do you want this gift? You may be struggling with your sin. Jesus Christ is this gift. He came into this world to die for our sins, and that make Him the precious gift. The most precious gift. And not only the most precious gift, it also came from one who loved us the most, that is God Himself. None of us deserve the Lord Jesus Christ, because all of us are enemies of God. We are all sinners, undone, totally depraved. As far as we are concerned, we would rather God never existed. But God said, I want them to know me, because I love them. Even though there is nothing lovely in any one of us, God says, I still love you. I love you so much that I will send my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, for this is the gift of God. The most precious gift, sent by the person who loved us the most, God Himself. And this gift will satisfy us forever. Forever. And it is most surprising too, to the Samaritan woman. An ordinary day with an extraordinary encounter, and it ended extraordinarily. She now knew the Savior. She has in her heart the Lord Jesus Christ. For this Lord Jesus Christ came to die for your sins and for my sins, because that's the only way to deal with the sin that is our master. Someone must die for our sins, and the Lord Jesus Christ did. And God accepted what the Lord Jesus did by raising Him from the dead to defeat death. Once and for all, God raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that you and I may understand and may know that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, the living water, the gift of God will come automatically into your heart. And you will feel like this Samaritan woman. Extraordinarily. A heart and a life that will be thrilled to know that I will never, never thirst again. I have the best gift. I do not need any other gift because I have the gift of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. This is the gift, dear friends. This gift, the Lord Jesus Christ is offering to you now. Acknowledge your sin. Cry to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord, as your Savior. And you will never, never need to have any other gift, for this gift satisfies forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Christmas. We thank Thee, Father, for gathering Thy people here in this sanctuary on this night of Christmas, especially our friends who are here for the first time and who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them, O Lord, to realize that Thou art the God who is offering to each one the gift of eternal life in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. May Thy people, O Lord, constrained by Thy Holy Spirit, receive this gift. And as Thy children, help us to declare to the whole world this same gift, that others too may receive the gift that will satisfy forever, that we may never, never thirst nor hunger again for anything. For this is the gift of gifts. Hear our humble cry, O Lord, and may Thou speak to someone tonight by the power of Thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Amen.